This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
We're talking about video games, although you can bring up anything that's on your mind. We're talking about Nintendo targeting ROM sites with takedown notices, threats of legal action, and it appears to be working. Every ROM site I have checked so far during the show tonight, including some sites that have been around for many years that had previously been quite reliable sources for these ROMs. And ROMs, for those that don't know, are downloadable versions of classic video games, generally. I guess you can get a ROM for a newer game, but there's not much you can do with them because emulators, you know, you're not going to find a PS4 emulator out there. That just doesn't exist. The current computer technology has to be much, much more powerful than the game system they're trying to emulate to do it in any decent way. So it's Ian Conan and Daryl in the studio tonight. We're going to get back into the story. Daryl, I think there might be some more from Kotaku.
Oh, there's definitely more, and I'm actually going to try skipping some of it.
We're going to go first, though, to Greg. He's in Brooklyn, New York. I know you were calling about a different topic tonight, Greg. Any comments on the ROM sites being targeted? You seem like a guy who might know a thing or two about that.
I'm sorry I missed the beginning of it, but you made me look up Desert Bus, and I was fascinated. Apparently it's used for charity now.
Oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. So I was going to explain the charity aspect of this. So had there been some sort of copyright protection on Desert Bus, this terrible old game that Penn and Teller were going to release.
And by terrible, you mean the greatest game ever.
In the mid-1990s, but it never came out. If there was some sort of protection on that, then they never would have been able to release it. But they did release it, and they've turned it into a charity event where people will sit and play Desert Bus for as long as they possibly can, and they will earn pledges or whatever in order to go to charity.
So I'm actually on a website, desertbus.org. Apparently some kind of event on November 9th on Twitch.
Oh, of course.
I don't even see alcohol in this photo. How are they even doing this? They're a bunch of...
There's got to be alcohol.
No,
involved.
They're just having fun throwing confetti and playing Desert Bus. It's stupid.
But some kid's probably benefiting from some charity thing or whatever. I don't know which charity it benefits, but this is the new gaming reality, Conan, where people play video games for charity.
Gone are the days of LAN parties, and now they're all...
Well, no, they have LAN parties. They actually have...
Where?
Dude, they have LAN...
Unless you're talking
conventions.
About e-gaming.
Well, they have that. This is the supposed esports thing where they have teams and, like, you know, they've got sports fans now for video games, which is, I think, ridiculous. Like, video gamers have become the very people that they talked crap about previously, right? Because some gamers, I'm sure, talked crap about sports fans. And now you've got video gaming sports fans who are just as annoying as sports fans are with all their facts and statistics and information
did
about their players.
Did you see how well we did?
Yeah, that
kind
of crap.
Do crap, man. You sat in the audience. You didn't participate in that move.
So, let's see. We were talking about Desert Bus, right? The charity?
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Anyway, I don't know.
What is the charity for? I want to know.
I don't know.
Child's Play. So I'm on the website right now on the FAQ. They say, what is Child's Play? Child's Play is a registered charity based in Seattle dedicated to improving the lives of children in hospitals and domestic violence shelters through the power of play.
So I'm guessing Chucky isn't their...
Correct.
Okay.
Not Chucky.
All right, Greg, go ahead. What are you calling about?
Well, I don't know about you guys. The only video game that I play is Warcraft 2, which is like 1995. And apparently there's a group of people who go to war2.ru, apparently in Russia, and they still play it. And it's like, I don't know, 23 years later.
They're still playing. Could you play that game over the internet back in the day, or was it like a local game? You can only play locally on a LAN.
It was the first Warcraft game you could play over the internet. And Blizzard actually made Battle.net, which was like their sort of their
I remember what I was going to tell you, Conan. You talked about LAN parties, which in the
StarCraft.
90s, people would bring their computers to a room. Usually young males would bring their computers to a room. It was very rare that a female would show up at one of these things, from what I understand. But you'd bring your computers to a room. You'd hook them all up in a local area network.
The worst part was the monitor.
And that, yeah, because they were gigantic. But you'd hook them up with a local area network, and you'd play Doom or Warcraft or whatever on a LAN, and people would drink whatever they drank, usually caffeinated beverages because they couldn't get alcohol because they were too young, that kind of thing.
Mountain Dew.
Well, now those people are in their 40s, and they're throwing conventions. There's this one that they went to, one of the Twitchers that I watch on Twitch, she went down to Austin, Texas, where they had this one that's been, like, worldwide. It's a convention that happens all over the place. And they brag because they get, like, the biggest possible internet connection, the fastest possible internet connection, like, temporarily installed at the venue. And so that's
and
one
they
of
bog
the,
it down.
And that's one of the big deals is, like, they got plenty of bandwidth, and they literally have thousands of people come there and join their LAN party. And
okay,
then,
I'm looking at LAN party list.
And then these fanatics. And then these, like, you know, not fanatics, but the fanatics of the people who broadcast video games on Twitch, they all show up there because they want to see their favorite Twitch gamer in real life. These are superstars, man. Like, these Twitch gamers, they have millions of, like, we got 400 followers, right, on Twitch, and I'm like, woo-hoo, I'm excited. There's people with 400,000 followers and that kind of thing, like millions of followers, and when they go somewhere, they're bigger than Brad Pitt. That's like the reality of where
Brad Pitt even played a video game in the last 20 years.
I don't know. Anyway, Greg, you weren't calling about gaming, so go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, I wanted to apply the principles of open source freedom to other aspects besides software. And I think last time I was talking about intellectual property. Actually, you guys were just talking about intellectual property. For me, copyright is less egregious than patents, because at least with copyright, there's only the one work that you specifically put together and wrote. But with patents, it's the idea, so you could have this doctrine.
Well, no, I mean, copyrights is control on ideas. Remember, they restrict the use of characters. So if you've created the characters
right
in your work,
there was the estate of J.D. Salinger that sued someone from making an unauthorized sequel because the character was the same.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I would say that if I was going to try to abolish intellectual property, I'd definitely start with patents because, frankly, even if the character in, any movie is restricted, that's a fantasy world. That's not really, the world is not really that much worse off than if a drug is restricted from being sold, you know? So I'd much rather have copyright, fine, but the patent system, here's what I'm going to say about that.
Mm.
The patent system essentially sets up the U.S., mostly the U.S., to do all the R&D, put all the cost of R&D on the U.S., and then we say, well, we're, you know, like you guys, I think someone said it last time, we're doing the R&D for the rest of the world, just like we're paying for the rest of the army. But, like, who asked us to do that? We're just going after everyone else who's trying to build on top of what we do, like Jonas Salk, who just gave away the polio vaccine. We would sue a guy like that today if they built on top of what we're doing. So I'd rather have everyone pitching in a little bit and solve malaria, solve all these other long-tail problems.
Right. When you have freedom of ideas, when you can transfer an idea and copy an idea without having to pay somebody a bunch of money for a licensing fee, that opens up the ability to create new things. And we've seen it in the world of cryptocurrency, where if you want to make a new crypto like they did with Zencash, now known as Horizon, you just crib the best ideas from the ones that already exist and put it together and put it out there. And you don't have to ask anybody's permission to do so. And that makes for a more robust economy. It makes for more options in the marketplace. It means the best will rise to the top. But it does mean there are a lot of choices, and that can be a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, the problem with patents, which, by the way, last 20 years here in the U.S. Compared to what, the 75 or the 100 years or whatever it is on copyrights, the problem is the stagnation, where you've got a company who does put the legwork in it. They do try to produce something that they can sell.
And then they sit on it.
And then they sit on it and they stagnate. And it's like, what happened to the better mousetrap? Well, it's always going to be a better mousetrap.
I'm
glad that China
FDA.
And India are ripping off our materials, because that would actually cause us to build a better mousetrap.
Hold on, Daryl, if you want to comment there. We thank you, Greg, for your call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. We can continue with whatever you want to bring up on Free Talk Live at 855-450-FREE, like freedom.
Zencash is an end-to-end encrypted system with zero-knowledge technology over which communications, data, or value can be securely transmitted and stored. With both secure nodes and super nodes, Zencash recently surpassed 17,000 nodes, which means Zencash has one of the largest node systems of any cryptocurrency. Super nodes will advance the decentralization of the Zencash network and ensure the utility not only of Zencash as a currency, but also the future services that will be layered in the infrastructure. Learn more at Zencash.com.
What's more profitable, running your business or doing bookkeeping? Doing your business, of course, but you want to keep your books so that you can maximize your tax savings, right? What if I told you that there's a person that's a bookkeeper, accountant, and law school graduate that's also a hardcore libertarian?
My name is Melanie Johnson, and I hate the state. I will aggressively help you to minimize your tax exposure and maximize profits, all while staying within the law.
Melanie's your best choice for your taxes and bookkeeping needs. Go to tax.freetalklive.com and check out our website, tax.freetalklive.com.
Do you operate a retail business and are looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier thanks to AnyPay.Global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.Global, drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in our setup page, and then load our app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash at your store. Get started now at AnyPay.Global. That's AnyPay.Global.
Bitcoin.com wants you to know about SaveItPurse.com. Since launching in 2014, over 200,000 users have saved an average of 15% for a combined $4 million using Bitcoin, or BTC. And now, you can use Bitcoin Cash, BCH, to fund your account. You can save between 5 to 33% on things you're going to buy anyway when you shop using SaveItPurse.com. Add items to your cart, fund your account, select your discount, and save. SaveItPurse.com. SaveATPurse.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Also, we've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms that are available to you. wherever you are in the world. Our next caller there is going to be from across the pond over in Ireland. We'll get to him in just a moment. Daryl, I know you wanted to make a point about the FDA regarding copyrights of patents and that kind of thing.
Regarding patents specifically with drugs, and this is something that Dr. Mary Ruard has talked about and written about extensively, is the approval process from the FDA. Because of however lengthy that process is, if somewhere along the testing process any minor thing goes wrong, then you might have to just scrap the entire thing, even though the drug itself might have been good, but you know, you didn't know exactly what the dosage should have been. So when you were doing like stage one testing, you didn't get the results you were looking for, and then scrap the whole thing and then make a minor tweak to whatever the thing was and then start the process all over again.
Yeah, well,
which is why it cost, what, like $1 billion to get something approved?
It's ridiculous. That's why why is medicine so expensive?
Well, FDA.
That's pretty much the reason. Intellectual property and government hurdles to regulation, or government hurdles to development.
Intended to protect us, they say.
That's the claim.
And all it really does is it makes it even worse. It takes it even longer to progress.
Yeah, it's only protecting the you know, the existing oligopoly.
System, the monopoly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're an oligopoly, but yes. So, Ian Conan and Daryl in the studio here tonight as we've been digging into the world of gaming takedowns targeted by Nintendo, websites like the ISO Zone, websites like MU Paradise, Cool ROM. There's a bunch of ROM sites out there that have been around for more than a decade, two decades in some cases, that now many of them have completely not only taken down their Nintendo inventory of ROMs, which are, again, the sort of digital downloadable games that are essentially the same games as the classic systems had back in the 80s and 90s. They've taken down every single ROM from their site.
Right, and this article from Kotaku says that some of the sites have just ceased to exist altogether.
Oh, I believe it. Well, I mean, that's the only point that they have. I mean, the ISO Zone has a forum, I guess, but the whole point of the ISO Zone was to go and download a bunch of ROMs. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the website. Why not just go ahead and close it down at this point?
Right.
Because, you know, your purpose, your reason for existing is pretty much done with. And again, if you're hosting one of these sites in another country, then why you even care, I don't know. Like, if you host this site in some country where they don't care about copyright, those must exist, right? Like China or something like that. Then why would you even shut it down? And indeed, we did finally find one site that has not completely shut down. And I found this on a thread somewhere. Vim.net, V-I-M-M.net, they have what they call The Vault, where they've got 11 classic game systems, starting with the NES and going through the Nintendo DS, so about 20 years worth of gaming systems there, and they claim to have every single video game officially released for those systems. But this also means that a lot of the ROM collections, where people will take the original game of, let's say, Super Mario Brothers, and they'll use whatever wizardry of hacking they have to change the game, where they'll actually change the levels, they'll change the characters, they'll change the graphics, they'll change all kinds of things about the original game. They're called hacks.
All right.
And so you can find, like, if you
And not to be confused with all, and they also add mods.
But the whole thing's basically a modification.
Correct.
But the idea is for people that just can't get enough Super Mario Brothers, well, now somebody just made 50 new levels or whatever, and usually they're like super, super hard, insane
right.
difficulty. I don't know if those are still going to be available, but everything I've checked so far seems like major takedowns here because of Nintendo.
Yeah, and there's more to this article. The author says there's no telling what sort of an effect the proliferation of ROMs has had on the popularity of video games. A recent Vice story shows how easy access to the creations opened up the world of games to billions of people. Outwardly, Nintendo maintains a hardline stance against unauthorized emulation, but Frank Cifaldi, the game industry's most prominent advocate for historical preservation, noted in that Vice piece that Nintendo's official re-releases of classic games uses emulator technology that built upon the works that hobbyists had done Friar.
Really?
They stole their software from their fans.
Seriously? How can they know that for sure? Like, how could they, did they decompile Nintendo's emulator?
I don't know, but...
And, like, found the exact same code from some hacker's emulator?
Do you remember a few years ago when Windows 7 came out? And Windows ran all of these ads basically bragging that they were stealing ideas. Where there would be people say, I wanted blah-da-da-da-da in my operating system. Windows 7 was my idea. And they have like a dozen people in the ad. And at the end, you know, Microsoft basically wound up bragging that they took all of these ideas whilst simultaneously suing people for using any derivative of anything that Microsoft has ever come up with as some form of illegal modification to something.
Where did I hear? I saw something about Sega apparently taking a position of, hey, we don't care what you do with our games. I feel like I saw that somewhere, and somebody did point out that's probably because Sega is basically a dead organization, and so they just don't care anymore, and they're just like, screw it.
I'm glad you mentioned dead organization. Yeah. Skipping down in the article here, he says, let's not forget about Nintendo, whose library comprises but a tiny fraction of all the old games that need to be preserved. Nintendo at least keeps up a lot of its stuff in print, but many of the games today are in what might be called copyright limbo. Mm. Perhaps the publisher completely shut down, leaving the question of who owns the copyright up in the air. Perhaps the game uses licensed characters
and music. Abandonware. There's a name for that. Abandonware.
Well, continuing on, he says maybe the game uses licensed characters or music, meaning that it cannot be published again without multiple rights holders working on a new contract. Mm. So, yeah, let's just say that, you know, the company that released the game is out of business, but they had an agreement with Sony for something. They had an agreement with Apple Music for something. So that creates a bunch of other confusion. Sometimes, as Cifaldi points out, when a game like this is released, the right holder has to source the actual data from ROMs on the internet because the originals were thrown in a dumpster when the company moved offices 20 years ago. Games like this are, by and large, simply never going to be released again. Mm-hmm. It's important to consider that in many cases, this might not only be bad for history, but also against the desires of the people who created the games. He says,
of course, they don't own them. Right. You know, if you're just a programmer for Nintendo, Nintendo holds the copyright, not the creators of those games.
I mean, right.
It hurts, but it's just welcome to copyright.
The author here says, I don't make games, but I do write books. Recently, I was able to get the rights back to a book I wrote in 2004 so that I could republish. And this opens up a whole other can of worms
and
about the publishing industry.
Right. So if you want to join us here, we're talking copyright, intellectual property, as it applies to video games, as Nintendo targets ROM fans, its own fans, on the internet.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump pushed back against what his former attorney Michael Cohen said in pleading guilty this week to two felony campaign finance violations. As Cohen noted, he's violated the law at Trump's direction. Longtime Judiciary Committee member Senator Orrin Hatch on the plea deal of Michael Cohen, suggesting then-candidate Donald Trump okayed payments to avoid disclosures of alleged affairs.
Well, these are serious charges. They can't be ignored.
Interviewed by Fox and Friends, the president said payments to women who've alleged affairs with him were not akin to campaign contributions.
They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me.
White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
As the president has stated on numerous occasions, he did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him in this. Just because Michael Cohen made a plea deal doesn't mean that implicates the president on anything.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live. You want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Conan.
And Daryl.
Hey, if you're into cryptocurrency and you're also into the world of retail, if you're a manager or an owner of a retail establishment, you want to be able to take crypto at your point of sale, the folks over at AnyPay have made it about as easy as it possibly can be. You go to anypay.global and you can get signed up there. If you already have a tablet, you're halfway done. It's so fast. You just create your username and password. You put your crypto wallet addresses into the setup page, and then you load the wallet or you load the point of sale app on your tablet at your point of sale, and that's it. You're done. So if you already have a crypto wallet and you already have a tablet, you pretty much have done almost everything you need except for creating your account and putting your wallet address in. So go to anypay.global. You can get started there and accept Bitcoin as well as Dash, Zcash, and more. Once again, that's anypay.global. As we continue here, we're going to Discord, the on-air call-in line room, where Hari255 is on the line from Ireland. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, guys. Just wanted to pitch in there on the conversation you're having about...
On the what?
Intellectual property, copyright.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, you know, like, I studied a little bit of intellectual property, and basically, like, you're saying Nintendo's getting all the websites to pull down all the games and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're scared. They got all these sites taking them down.
Yeah. Well, on that, it's like, you know, they can be what they're challenging their these websites is like, you know, the websites are actually storing the codes, like the actual game, but that's all they can do. They can threaten them, you know? Because,
well, no, they can file a lawsuit against them if they're based, if they got a nexus in the United States, they can get them.
And based on previous court rulings, because they're using this thing called the Internet and people in the United States can access the Internet, then therefore jurisdiction. And there have been all kinds of previous lawsuits of, oh, you illegally downloaded something, so we're going to file this outrageous fine against you. And there's always, you know, a story every few years about some, like, single mother that had downloaded a couple of albums and gets, kid, like, a $500,000 fine.
Yeah, but then standard, but, like, you know, like, it's different, like, you know, because this concerns gaming and stuff like that. Actually, what you're saying, you know, in law, like, that's my opinion, like, from studying intellectual property law, like, you know, it's, you can argue about all these things. The only things they can say, like, you know, is those websites are actually storing them.
Yes, yes, they were.
Facilitating distribution.
Yes, they absolutely were. These ROM sites had the huge collections of thousands of games.
Collection, yeah.
And you could just select whichever system and whichever game you wanted and then click to download. And usually the most you'd have to do is, like, watch an advertisement. And I'm sure most of those companies had no idea they were advertising on pirated game downloads.
Yeah, but the other thing is, you know, copyright is an is something that's called unregistered right. It's up to the person that holds the right to try to enforce them, like you said.
Right, and that's what Nintendo's been doing.
Been on for, like, you know, 20 years or whatever, and they themselves, you're like using emulators to be able, like, emulators is facilitating want to use these games.
Well, it's completely legal to use an emulator. If you have the a copy of the game, a legal copy of the game, then it's completely legal to emulate, as I understand it. Again, I'm not an attorney, but that's my understanding of the court interpretation.
And the article here from Kotaku does mention that there was a federal court ruling, and I think it might have said court rulings, plural, that emulators in and of themselves are not
right.
Those are just code. Copyright law.
Emulators are just, and thank you, Hari255, for your call tonight. I appreciate it.
Well, and it's all just code.
Well, no, but the emulators are code written by the creator of the emulator to emulate the way that the hardware originally works.
Right.
So that's their original code creation, whereas the code of the games was written by those companies or copyrighted by those companies, and so they have control. Now, Conan, do you want to address a different aspect? Mods?
Well, before that, you know, the only thing this move by Nintendo is actually going to accomplish is it's going to teach the normies how to dig even deeper and go dark.
Go to the dark web.
They're going to learn. This is actually going to teach people
to go to Pirate Bay.
Yeah, correct. I mean, so
how to buy an onion router for everything. Amazon.
You can get the entire archives readily available on basically any torrent site, any good torrent site out there.
Right now at thepiratebay.org, if you search for NES ROMs, 706 Nintendo NES ROMs, it's about 70 megabyte downloads.
So that's the highest download, but there's a lot of other packages available.
There's also 6,666 games for Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, and then like three other systems.
Just make sure you're using your VPN whenever you do any of this, people.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah. But the other thing...
It's right there. Some of these things have been sitting here since 2005.
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned mods earlier, which is a modification to the game, and I'm gonna,
not to Nintendo,
to any game.
It's computer games that have mods.
And this is why I don't. This is why, with the exception of like Nintendo and NES, I do not play console games. Okay. Console systems.
I'm a PC purist.
But no, the best games out there are the ones with the modding communities who go into these games, they take the they take the vanilla and they go to town on them. They add characters.
They make them better. Remove King Bowser and replace them with Brock Lesnar.
Well,
they
mean,
could do that.
You could do that, but I'm talking about the
But Bowser's a Nintendo character, so it's unlikely there are any real mods for those games. It's the computer games, the ones that are designed
for the computer.
Like Doom was the first real modded game.
Wolfenstein with the changing the characters into
Mortal Kombat.
I'm sure there are mods for Mortal Kombat. I've never heard of them, but...
Games that I remember playing.
Mortal Kombat was an arcade game that came out on consoles. There probably is a PC version, but it's
I remember playing it on PCs.
Modded. It's probably not heavily modded.
Like the late 80s, early 90s.
Daryl, you're leading more on just changing the skins. I'm talking about taking a game and like...
Changing the levels,
the core.
Total graphics, overhauls.
A prime example would be the Half-Life, where they actually went in there and they made a whole new game, Counter-Strike, off of the game. But other exceptions are the Fallout series, the Elder Scrolls series.
Those are huge mod communities.
Huge. They're actually taking older games using like the Skyrim engine and they're redoing Morrowind.
I have no clue what any of these things are.
But the thing is,
these are large the Skyrim, Morrowind, this is called the Elder Scrolls. It's historical because it was one of the first games to really do an open world game. So like games
World of Warcraft?
No.
So like games like Doom are a 3D first person shooter, right? There's a beginning to the level, there's an end to the level.
Yeah.
You have to get from the beginning to the end. Sometimes it's somewhat maze-like and there's doors and keys, and eventually if you go at it enough, you're going to find the way through.
Right.
With an open world game, sort of like Grand Theft Auto.
Sandbox game.
The sandbox, where there's a large world. You can go any direction you want to. You're going to encounter, cities in different places and, bad guys in different places and different plot lines that you can kind of follow. So unlike a linear style game where there's the first level and there's the last level, in an open world style game, there's a sort of plot that exists and you can kind of uncover it as you explore the territory.
Which is probably 1-3% of the game, and the other 97% are everything else you can do.
And so there's a bunch of other things that you can do. You can join factions, you can go on quests that aren't related to the full-on plot of the game.
So like Minecraft.
Minecraft is, I've never played Minecraft, but Minecraft is, I think, more of like a construction kind of world game.
It's open, where there's not a beginning and end.
Yeah, yeah,
But here's the point.
You can set up your own server.
You take some of these games who are notably popular, and they all have these huge modding communities, and that has been the boon of the game makers, the producers. The fan base has actually made the games even better.
That's true.
And now there is a move to get away from that, and I'll talk about it in the next segment.
All right, there's more on the way here. 855 450 free. You can join us in the remaining moments of Free Talk Live next.
This November, I'll be running the world's biggest and most popular marathon, the New York City Marathon, as a member of Team Innocence Project. The Innocence Project was the first legal organization to systematically apply DNA testing to cases of wrongful convictions as a powerful tool to reveal innocence. So far in 2018, the Innocence Network has welcomed 32 wrongfully convicted people home from prison for crimes they did not commit and had a record-breaking 850 people unite in Memphis at their annual conference. The movement of freeing the innocent and reforming the criminal justice system is growing and would not be possible without your support. Together as 68 network organizations around the world, they've helped exonerate 513 people who spent a combined total of 7,804 years in prison. They've also worked together to pass over 150 laws in the U.S. to help prevent wrongful convictions. You can support the Innocence Project by going to run.freetalklive.com. That's run.freetalklive.com.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Remaining moments, we have enough time for you. Our number is 855-450-FREE. Heavy on the video game talk here tonight as we're doing a little nostalgia.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo unfortunately ruined everybody's fun by targeting ROM sites for takedown notices, and now the ROM sites, most of them, are just basically closing up shop. Some of them have completely gone entirely. Others have pulled down their entire inventories. A select few still remain. We were able to find, I think it was Vim?
Vim.
Vim, thank you. Vim.net, I think
Vim,
it was.
Vim's Lair.
Vim, V-I-M-M.net, has several systems, including the Nintendo systems, and still has downloadable files. Cool ROM, which was one of the longtime ROM sites, still has all the games for other systems that aren't Nintendo, so Sega Genesis and stuff like that. They've still got those. And, of course, for those of you looking for full-on collections, you can still find those through the torrent sites at, like, thepiratebay.org. So anybody with the determination who wants to find these Nintendo games is going to. They will exist on the Internet forever, and Nintendo will never truly be able to put a stop to this. But as you pointed out earlier, Daryl, they feel like they have to do this in order to protect their copyrights, because
right.
Copyright's got some kind of system where if somebody's violating it, you have to go after them in order to show that you still care about protecting the copyright. But, of course, they shouldn't care, because even if somebody were to put together a brand new version of Zelda and put it out there, you know, that's still not Nintendo's Zelda, and while some fans may indeed download that version and support that version, ultimately that's not going to take anything significant away from whatever Nintendo's next release of Zelda
right.
is. I'm sorry. To believe that your product is so easily duplicatable and that, you know, you aren't the one that's creating the best version of it, or that you'd be afraid that somebody could do a better job than you and you need the government there to keep you safe. What a just wimpy, weak position. Yeah. So lame.
And like I said, if anything, having Zelda 1 available to the fans is only going to bolster the sales of whatever Zelda you're working on now. It's just going to, because you're always going to have that crowd that just want to, and they're probably going to, they'll download it and install it, and they might not play it for 15 minutes. and then decide, you know what, this is a little too retro for me.
Exactly.
The actual percentage of gamers out there who actually play retro games from
start to finish,
very, very small.
I've never done it. All the times I've ever played a emulator, it's been just what you're talking about. It's like, oh, that's what that game was like.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was one point you wanted to make earlier that I made a note about, what we never actually got to, and I knew you wanted to talk about mods a little bit more here, I think, but one of the neat things about playing emulated games
is you can save them. Instead of having to backtrack 15 minutes, it's like you're in the dungeon, you're like a couple of levels away from the boss,
and you die.
And you gotta go do something.
Well, you could always pause it back
in the day. And that was, by the way, the killer of old school games. You young millennials, man, you've got it so easy with these games, with this, all the save points.
Auto saves.
Technically a millennial.
But having to play a game from start to finish in one sitting.
Also, you got to remember, Conan, not only are the games a little easier these days in a lot
so
of ways,
easier.
But there's a terminology that I've heard called NES hard, to kind of describe how difficult these old games actually were. Because it wasn't just that you'd get to the second-to-last level or whatever. It was that you had to grind your way there by trial and error, learning these levels and trying to get through them. Every time you die, some of these games would start you at the beginning of the level.
Yeah.
And then if you ran out of continues, you'd have to start at the beginning of the game. And so,
do you remember getting caught up in the negative world in Mario?
I don't remember that, no.
It was
Super Mario?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was one of these where it was just some water maze.
Is this like you fall through the floor or something?
There was one particular spot. I don't remember where it was, but there was one particular spot where if you went through one of the pipes, it took you into what was referred to as the negative world.
Where everything was negative? Like colors were negative? So like
no.
The sky was black.
It was just called the negative world because all you could do was die. There was no way to escape out of this water maze.
I don't remember that.
But they still make games now that have the Iron Man mode
hard,
where you like can't save.
Sure.
Or it's a permanent death.
But with the ROMs and the emulators, they have what's called the save state, where at any point in the game you can hit the save button
and then save multiple games if you wanted to.
And then you can load from that exact point, your exact moment in time. So like you can even do this to where if there's a jump that you have trouble making, you can just save right in front of that jump. Keep trying to make the jump, and then you don't have to keep reloading the game from the beginning. It's a huge time saver.
Yep.
Now, of course, the purists, they don't support the save states.
Oh, no, they were already throwing their controllers at the wall when I said that.
So the
best part about ROMs is the save state.
The Mario Wiki has an entry about the Minus World. It's a glitch level found in Super Mario Brothers. It's an underwater level exactly like World 7-2 in geography and enemy location, but cannot be finished due to the pipe at the end being
glitched
and taking you back to the start, and it displays as World-1.
Crazy.
Which is why it was called the negative world or the minus world.
All right, so Conan, you wanted to rant about these mods.
So my one concern with the movement, where we're going, the direction that we're going with some gaming producers, like notably Bethesda, who makes the Fallout games. So Fallout 4, hate it or love it or hate it, has a huge modding community, which actually will make the game better if you didn't like what they did with
it. It wasn't as good as New Vegas. But
New Vegas is by far the best Fallout in my opinion.
Yeah.
But where are they going now? They're doing what all the console games do. They're doing what they did with Elder Scrolls. They're going to an online-only game
setup. Yeah, but that's just a filler.
Modding community, it's not. I don't think it is a filler. I think they're testing the waters. They want it to go places because how do you make money? How do you make money after the game, after vanilla?
Downloads.
After the DLC.
All right.
Download
vanilla, cashews, caramel drizzle.
So if you look at the Fallout 4 mods, the official mods by the developers.
Nobody cares about those.
There are a couple of good ones that have good reviews, and most of it is
crap.
Because the modding community has already done all these things, and they've gone above and beyond.
And they've done them better.
And guess what? The gaming developers are not making money off of that. I mean, right. it's keeping the game alive. That's a good thing, but they're not actually making money off that content. So what if it's an online-only content?
And you got to pay per month to access the servers.
That probably won't be the case with this.
No?
It probably won't be the case with Fallout 76.
Why not? Isn't that what they all
there
do?
There have been 76 Fallouts?
No, stop. But I mean, every time they're gonna add some kind of DLC, downloadable content, they'll be selling that for $20 a pop. And the modding
isn't that
community,
what the other games do, like EverQuest and World of Warcraft, where they charge per month to the player to play these massively
multiplayer. There are some games that do charge per month.
There are many online role playing games that yes, they do. I don't think 76 is going to do that.
I
think you're going to buy the original. It's going to be an
online
experience.
I don't want to play it if it's online. I don't want to play these online multiplayer games because I'm worried I'll get sucked in.
You want to visit some rage fans, enraged fans. Go to some 76 forums.
They've not even played the game yet. It isn't even out yet.
Well, I mean, you're taking the game. It's a single player experience, and now you're adding like other people in there that can mess up your gameplay.
They can griefers.
They can nuke your stupid your shelter, which is going to be a possibility.
So, I don't know. We'll see how it all pans out, Kone, because I feel like I heard that they are going to put in provisions to protect people from the griefers. These are the characters, the players that go in just to try to screw with people and, you know, ruin their gaming experience.
Yeah, personally, I have always been a fan.
I like single-player games.
I
like them.
Any of the PvP games, Warcraft was a prime example. You've got your Care Bear servers where you can't attack the other players. Yeah, you can't be attacked by the other faction.
Okay.
I always played PvP, and yeah, sometimes you get ganked by
a high... What's your favorite game right now? What are you playing right now, Conan?
I'm playing, believe it or not, I'm playing Fallout Shelter, which is an Android...
The handheld game, right?
Well, it's I play it on the PC.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Downloaded via Steam. I did not like playing it on the tablet.
Okay.
It's much better PC using a mouse because there's a lot of actions you have to take and trying to swipe and use your finger. It's just too much going on.
I'm in the middle of two games. Chrono Trigger for PlayStation 1.
Oh, really?
I'm playing through that on our Twitch feed at twitch.lrn.fm slowly.
How far into the game are you?
I'm like 3/4 of the way through it, I think, at this point. And then I'm also in the middle of Doom 2016, the remake of the classic.
I saw it for 50% off a couple of weeks ago, and it's like not enough. I'll wait till it's 80%.
If you've got a decent graphics card, pick it up when it's cheap. Yep. It's a good one. They did a good job of that. They did a great job of kind of bringing back the original.
The nostalgic
They really did, with a new
style.
With a new look to it.
Can you jump? Of course you can jump.
But it's got like the unlimited ammo like the old Doom did, basically. Well, not really, but anyway. Out of time for tonight. You can join us online over at freetalklive.com in the meantime. Or jump in the Discord server where the conversation continues at discord.lrn.fm. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEMACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.